Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Face Us, the radio show where we listen to your voice and talk about the corruption we all face every day in our courts. America's courts have been co-opted by organized crime organizations operating under the color of law to defraud their victims of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. We, the people, must confront the perpetrators of these crimes to have any hope of creating transparency and accountability in our courts and repairing our legal system. We stand with you to create this accountability. It's time to face us. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Face Us Radio, Blog Talk Radio, / Hidden Truth Revealed, and this is the Inside Scoop. I'm Robin Austin, and I'm with my other co-host, Lou Ann Fleming. Say hello, Lou Ann.
Hello, everybody.
Hillary Hoag. Hillary, say hello.
Hello, and welcome, everyone.
Yeah. And Marcy Friedman. Can you say hello, Marcy?
Hola, America. This is not Cuba.
There you go. That's our national radio show.
We are.
Buddy.
We do have the Constitution of the United States of America, where Article 1, Section 5, we have the right to ask our representatives and speak our voice and the law of the land.
Amen.
Amen.
Today is Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. In this show, we ask the question, is a miracle taking place in the Colorado legislature? Perhaps for the first time, it appears legislators are seriously considering a bill which would create a minimal level of accountability for those responsible for misusing their authority and victimizing the vulnerable individuals they are tasked to protect under the law. House Bill 22-1271, Personal Rights of a Protected Person, would make guardians legally responsible to tell family members when their mother, father, or a loved one dies or is moved within a specific amount of time. The Bar Association feels a weak risk of a guardian. However, Representative Richard Holtorf disagreed, saying, if it was my mother, I would want to know right away, within a few hours, and appealed to the other legislators, which led to the consideration of amendments to the bill. The powerful testimony by members of the public, victims, and advocates, combined with the impassioned words from the members of the board, resulted in the bill's sponsor, Representative Kim Ransom, seeing the bill move forward under consideration in a 13-0 vote instead of being killed in committee. Is this a miracle?
Yes.
Let's discuss it.
Oh, my God, this was crazy, everybody. It was a fun day at the Capitol. I mean, Channel 7 News stayed with us the whole time. We were down there like 4 hours. They stayed with us the whole time. They did a lot of interviewing, the representatives, two of them, and they interviewed me, and they had the cameras on all of our families.
All of the testimony of all of the families and all of the advocates and all of the victims. And so we're looking forward to when they are able to piece that into the story that they're going to tell. I believe they're hoping to air it this Friday, but we'll have to wait and see how that goes for them. But it did sort of feel almost miraculous. We actually had one of the representatives come out and speak with us afterwards and say, this is very unusual. This was sort of, they planned to kill it. This was, you know, it was all sort of lined up to just kill this bill, and when you all got finished with your testimony, well, you saw what happened. They just weren't able to kill it, and it has to do with the fact that we, and by we, I mean all of these advocates, all of these victims, all of these individuals came forward and spoke eloquently, beautifully, heartfelt truth the way that the court system is being measures of the damned that they have been pushed through and into by unscrupulous actors who are in face of where the law ought to be serving people. And they just after hearing all those stories, they were unable to bring themselves to just veto this bill and shut it down. They just couldn't do it. And I just want to applaud everyone that spoke up and assisted in that process of breaking down that wall that the Bar Association and the judges and the attorneys have been able to maintain for so long that it really did seem like it was a miracle that we were able to get just that far. Now, we didn't get the bill passed. Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. Thanks, Robert. Sorry for interrupting you. Were there time constraints? Could you only speak for a minute, 2 minutes? Did everyone get to speak, or was it fair?
Each person who spoke was allowed 3 minutes to speak.
A panel of five.
And there was a panel of five, and then there was another panel of five, and I think there was a third panel of five.
Yes.
And then there were a couple of people asked questions. There were a couple of people that testified by Zoom, and then there was the opportunity for anyone who had not spoken who wished to comment to come forward.
Right.
So, but each person was only allowed 3 minutes.
You know, and some of our advocates came on and actually cried on there, and your time is up, and they just let them cry a little bit. But it was really, really awakening in there, and, you know, it was an amazing day down there. They finally are getting it.
It truly was heartbreaking, because the truth is that these are heartbreaking truths, these stories that people go through of being tortured and being abused in our court system are heartbreaking, true stories. And when we are allowed the opportunity to voice our concerns, and when these courageous people are permitted the chance to speak out in a public forum, first of all, that's a terrifying thing for pretty much anyone to do.
Oh, God.
It is the number one fear of anybody is public speaking in general. But second of all, if they are allowed to tell their story and they open their hearts and tell it from the heart, then it is extremely powerful. These people were talking. We had a man who served in the military
who was
talking about how in all the things he went through, guardianship is worse. I can't even begin to recount the power of the truth that was brought forth, but it was overwhelming, and it was too powerful for the legislators to ignore. And they, again, it was almost against their will. It was almost like they really had sort of gotten the word from on high, which is the Bar Association, who came in and said, this bill is poorly written, it's redundant, and it makes demands on people that we don't think are so realistic. Let's just get rid of this thing because, for those reasons, if it's not, you know, it's not worth anything, dump this thing. And so when it came down to it, they have carried the day at every bill we have testified in for years and years and years. And we've testified for the last 7 years. We've been standing in front of legislators, standing in front of the Supreme Court, standing in front of everyone you can stand in front of to tell them there's a problem in the court. And every single time, you know, we would get generally a fairly warm reception, except for the occasional honest person. But the truth is that nothing would ever be done that had any value or merit for the victims of these crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was what was expected of these legislators. But when we finished telling the story, it was simply too much for them. It was overwhelming for everyone in the room. There was not a dry eye in the house, because you can't listen to these stories and not be moved. And that is what happened. Ladies and gentlemen, they were moved to tears, and they were overwhelmed. And single one of them said, I'm not going to kill this bill. I'm not going to kill it. We will carry it forward, and we will consider what we've heard today, mm-hmm. and we will work on it and revise it and try to do something to make sure that we have a bill that actually passes.
And that works for everybody.
And that works for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so this is the state of what happened in Colorado yesterday, this modest little miracle that happened in the legislature.
Right, and they're going to be bringing back a bill that has a lot more teeth in it, but they still have the elephant in the room as the Colorado bar, is what Channel 7 calls that as well, that they still have to do kind of negotiations with them. But you know what? We the people are sick and tired of the Colorado bar saying, you got to do as we say. No.
Rolling over people.
You know,
rolling
we're tired
over
of
our legislature like a steamroller.
You know?
Rolling over the people that are in the care of corrupt attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'm not saying, none of us are saying all attorneys are bad
they're not,
or corrupt.
They're not
they are not.
No.
We know some
dang.
Heroes, great attorneys, true,
yeah.
right.
And not
people.
All judges
yeah.
are bad either. But
that's
yeah,
right.
We got
that's
great
absolutely
judges
right.
Too.
We have judges that are heroic to us because
yeah.
they stand up for justice. They do what's
yeah.
right. You're absolutely right, Marcy. And
well,
that
this is why I wanted to bring up the Florida Article 1-5, which I think it has to do too with the Constitution of the United States. That the people shall have the right to peacefully to assemble, to instruct their representatives, and to petition for redress of grievance. We have that right. Why they didn't want to listen to you guys in the past is alarming, and it's not going by the Constitution. And also, when all of you are speaking, I believe that they have a rule that they must allow public speaking, and it could be an hour, 30 minutes, something that we really need to check on here in Florida, Hillary, and then up there. Because let's say if they have 10 people and the public is allowed to speak, let's say, an hour, then all those 10 people need to be divided by an hour, and by law, they need to obey that. And they're just doing things that they're just really controlling it, that they're not allowed we the people to speak, and we do still have a Constitution of the United States of America that I believe stands really strong in civil rights. So why this is happening, you know, it's alarming. It really is.
It's alarming. You know, Marcy, I want to qualify what you're saying because I have found that when it's a matter of legislation, as a general rule, although they have thrown up barriers that were nearly insurmountable, they have actually made a chance for people to comment on that legislation. And however, having said that, I do want to say that they violated the law in doing so at times, because I remember not that long ago when we went to speak about legislation that was upcoming. I believe it was called the Catherine Falk Bill.
Yes.
Because she had brought it forth in the state of Colorado as well as in other states, who was Peter Falk's daughter, and he had a problem with a guardian that was restricting him in ways that were unethical. And so this bill was to redress some of the problems that had been endemic not only in Colorado but in other parts of the United States. And when we went to testify in that bill, the legislature at the time was not the legislators we have now, but the legislature at the time made every effort to make sure that we really didn't get to talk. And the way that they did that was the legislative session began at 10 o'clock in the morning. We were told that the bill would be addressed
mm-hmm.
sometime in that legislative session. The legislative session went on, And then they went into committee for about 3 hours, about 4 o'clock, and came back about 7 o'clock.
Went back in again.
And didn't tell us how long they would be away. So we're waiting the entire time at the Capitol building.
At 3 in the morning.
And it was past 3 in the morning, dear.
Yes.
It was 3 in the morning when they began to consider the question, I think. But it was actually the sun was coming up as we were walking out of the Capitol building.
Look,
we stayed
Detroit
there from 10 o'clock in the morning until dawn the next day,
mm-hmm,
so that we could testify about this bill. And we had people well in their 80s,
yes,
that were waiting to speak all of that time, who did speak. But, you know, that was that's the kind of unethical behavior that we have been treated to in the process of trying to establish some restriction on some of the crimes that are perpetrated against people in our courts.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was actually quite refreshing to go before a legislature who listened politely, didn't cut our advocates off if they were so passionate that they were just, it was almost impossible to silence them. And, you know, let them know your time is up. And then they went on and said, listen, your time really is up. And they went on and finally said, look, your time really is up. You know, but it was because they could see that sometimes you just can't be silenced. And the truth has to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And they listened to all of that. And then one of the members of the legislature actually had been in a situation where some member of his family had been in a situation that was similar to the ones we were describing.
He said it was almost identical out in California. And he came out to talk to our families. And he says, I really don't care what the bar has to say. I don't give a shit. That's his exact words. He goes, oh, are you taping me? And then he started giggling because he's like, you know, I really don't care what they have to say anymore. Because what they did to all your families is what they did to my relative. I'm backing you all 100%. So he's the one who came out and was interviewed by Channel 7. He came out and talked to our families personally saying, we are with you. We are going to do some change here. He wants to help us next year as well if he's voted in and all that.
Right.
So that was some big news yesterday. It was a lot of fun down there.
It was. It really was.
It was a better welcome.
It was a tremendous feeling.
What a great feeling that is to be able to accomplish that after, you know, all the hardships and all the battle of trying to fix this system and let the truth be heard. But I think that right now, today, after watching Hillary on TV and the news today, and you guys, I think the movie I Care a Lot just became a faceless reality show.
That's that's what we actually put on our headlines today. It says, you know, if you can't face me, face us. Hidden Truth was revealed to Colorado legislators. Netflix I Care a Lot came to life in HB 22-1271, sponsored by Kim Ransom, Personal Rights of a Protected Person. Colorado legislators face a dilemma. And so that's what we put on our headlines today.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do face a dilemma.
They are breaking with protocol. They are breaking with history. This is a bellwether moment in time. Because this has never happened before, where they just thumbed their nose at the Bar Association and said, we're not going to do what you say to do just because you say to do it. In the past, I hate to say it, but in the past, it has seemed that the Bar Association were some kind of overlords to the legislature, because they would come in and say, we don't like this bill, and because it's bad for us, and that was pretty much what it was, and that would do it. That would be it. They would, you know, they'd make up some nonsense about why we don't want you rescuing the victims of our crimes.
Yes.
And the legislature would go, well, okay then, if you say no to, you know, and it was,
well,
it was ugly. It was bad. It was
the same thing that happened in Florida. Olivet Avenue
Bridge,
Tallahassee, until the Bar Association came, and they were all okay. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot more victims, at least in Colorado. You're being heard more than us in Florida because the addendum that it's a lack of transparency. So, and it's crazy because it's already a law in the court system anyway. So it was nothing new, but they just wanted to be close to just judges and attorneys. And so the same thing, we're going to continue to lose more elders unless this thing goes to the Capitol and straight to Biden so he can fix it.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. You know what I did tell Channel 7, they asked me when they interviewed me, how has Channel 7 played a part in this? And I said, thank God you guys are involved with this. And thank you all for coming out and supporting us. So when they walked out with their camera crew, all of our families just thanked them and applauded for them. And they were very...
standing ovation for all of the people that had testified that day.
Anyway, I know, Hillary, you guys got a lot of information out there in Florida about, can you tell us a little bit about what happened out there in Florida tonight, about you being on television as well out there in Palm Beach? Okay, so go ahead and do that for us.
Well, thanks, Luann and Robin. It was a great day because we had two in 7 minutes, which is really good, all on guardianship, one on LeBron Douglas being sentenced to 10 years in prison, and also another piece on how innocent family members are being imprisoned and sent to jail for standing up and trying to protect their loved ones. So it was good. Marcy, did you see one of the pieces that I was in?
Yes, I did, and it was great, and I saw you. I think it's great. I think they did a great job getting the point across and speaking about the reality and everything that is really happening, speaking up the truth. And I think sharing that, not letting it die, just because it was on the news just today, and just all of us continue to share it and educate people, I think that's going to be great. But it really showed the two sides of what's really going on that people don't really understand. Oh my God, how can that happen? You know,
exactly.
But we're protected
by
the Constitution. No, we're not. Or the Constitution protects us. It's the government protecting us and protecting our elders. This is like an internal war, Putin-like or Castro-like. What's the difference? Taking people out of their homes and put them in facilities, isolated, alienated. What? That's a bomb without blood. That's a bloodless bomb. And I think that the bomb now is creating dust, and the news is now taking it for real and saying, well, we really need to educate the public and we really need to protect health hazards. It's a public house. And Sykes did an amazing job. My kudos to you. I mean, I can just jump up and down.
Oh, that's good. And Karen Turk is on, and she is a trifecta. She was sent to jail for a month, you know, trying to protect her mother, and she is a trifecta. She's gorgeous, she's smart, and she can go ghetto to make her point. So... we are doing well in Florida, and we're doing it for my father, for Marcy's, you know, mother that just passed, Luann's mother, Robin's family. We're doing it for strangers because we do not want this to happen to anyone else.
No, we don't. And it's so sad, you know, when I saw those pictures from Ukraine and you see the people's faces and then the dog's faces, when I looked at some of the pictures when my mother was in the hospital, same thing of fear because they are being deprived, isolated, and lied to and brainwashed. And this is just across the board with all the victims. This is cruel. I think it's a human crime. People should not be going through
this. It is a crime. It is a crime. And when you say brainwashed, one of the things that you mean is terrorized. People are threatened with bodily harm. They are inflicted with bodily harm. They are threatened with starvation. They are threatened with, you know, we can cut off what you drink, what you eat. We can drug you to death. We can do anything we want with you, and there's no one that can stop us. And that is living under terror. That is a domestic terrorist terrorizing our individuals.
And the criminals are protected. The criminals are protected.
Yes,
I dare you say that to the criminals. I'm going to make you be supervised. This is what's going on.
It is. It's what's happening.
Mental, emotional, physical torture. My mother suffered that, and I suffer that, and you, Luann, and you, Hillary, and we all suffer that for all the victims out there that are going through this. It's heartbreaking that this is like a war. It's like you
think
Putin was into it.
It's not even like war. It is a war.
It is a war.
Are acts of war against these families, against us, the people of America, against our elders, against our most vulnerable citizens, against who need help the most. There is a war being waged every day by the most unscrupulous, low-life people that I have ever, you can possibly imagine. These are worse than a lot of criminals. These really are criminals. This is, that you know, there's It's difficult to find descriptive language that can help people to understand just how horrific what is done by these people is, because they choose the people who are most easy to pick on. They go after children who can't defend themselves and take them away from their families and sell them into slavery. They go after adults who are old and getting a little frail, and then they put them in handcuffs and take them away from their home and lock them in a box and feed them only what the cheapest they can feed them is.
Right.
And gradually starve them and give them only, you know, and drug them if they complain and beat them if they, and no one can know because they're hidden away. No one is allowed to even know where they are. No one is allowed to have any idea what's happening with their loved ones, their mother, their father, their daughter, their son, their parents. It's horrible.
Christine Montanti's mom, she can't find her mother. And then, you know, they use the tactic of family dysfunction to exploit the elderly, to take, you know, all those attorney's fees, to go around in a little zigzag in order to manipulate and exploit the state, exploit the elderly, and then exploit the inheritance by using the little tactic, it's family dysfunction. No, it's not family dysfunction. It's theft. It is fraud.
Right, right. It has gotten to the point where if you go to your doctor, it may be that some person will come up and say, oh, gosh, looks like you got a pretty serious hangnail on that toe. I bet it's hard for you to get around with that, isn't it? Do you need some help with that? You need some help tying your shoes or going to the shower? Do you need some help? Is there anybody that can help you? And what they're really saying is there any way that I can persuade you that this would be a good time for us to get you guardianized? Because, boy, oh, boy, they know. Once you're guardianized, that means they own you. They've got you. Then, oh, Your Honor, they can't really speak for themselves. I'm the guardian. I'll have to do the speaking for them. And they need a conservator. they're going to need my old buddy over here to look after their finances because they're having a little mental difficulty. But wait, I'm not. No, no, no. You're not allowed to speak. You're a ward. You don't have rights. You don't have a voice. You don't have any privileges or powers. I have all of your privileges and powers. I am your guardian. So you can just shut up. Because things will only get worse for you the more you protest.
And
I hate to say it. It hurts me to tell the truth, but this is the truth.
Right, and you know what? And I know that we had the Colorado Bar there yesterday. Two pretty women came in, and they talked about how everything was running kind of smoothly. We really didn't need this law. But we talked to Channel 7, and we told them the reason why that is because these people profit from these vulnerable people. So that we have to go up against, get these laws passed. I think the people need to speak out even harder over that because the Colorado Bar should not be governing us. They shouldn't have it. They shouldn't be telling us, no, you can only have, how about a week if we can tell you about your parents dying? How about 30 days? They wanted to give us 30 days on that.
They wanted the legislature to write a law. If they wrote a law at all, bar lobby wanted it to be that you would be notified within 30 days if your loved one is moved or passes away
or
under the care of a guardian.
Yeah.
You know, it's absurd.
It's absurd.
They wish to you the pillaging. And I'm using very harsh language, and I apologize to all of those that are working as guardians, that are working as conservators, that are working as attorneys, that are doing their best for their clients. I'm not talking about you. I'm standing with you against the corruption in your profession. I am defending you.
Right.
I am standing up with you to say, I'm standing to try to take those slings and arrows that they're throwing at you because you want to do the right thing for the client there to represent.
And you know what? And we had everybody that came up from our families. I had my sister got up there and talked, this is how a guardian should be. And she read her speech, and it was awesome. I mean, she's like, this is how it's supposed to be, not what they've done to our families. Then we had this other lady come up who was blind. Her name was Beth Tarasi, and she was in a guardianship in Florida. She talked about how it was to be in guardianship. Then we also had Carrie Brenneman, who was also on here, who was only 49 years old in a conservatorship. She talked about how she wanted out, and it was very powerful. We had Lang, which I'm going to be inviting some of these guests onto our radio show tonight. They're going to talk about what they heard in legislation and what they think is going to happen next. So I'm going to be calling all Colorado people to go ahead and push a 1 on their phones right now to call into our radio show, 845-241-9962. You press a 1. 845-241-9962. You press a 1. And I'll start having some Colorado families come on here. And some of them were very powerful. We had Tony Carr that came on and talked about how her mother was guardianized, and then her brother is now guardianized, and now they're after her. That's 3 family members, okay?
And she has no idea. The thing about guardianships that you as a relative lose, it's not only the person that is guardianized that loses their rights. It's your family as well. All of a sudden, you have no more right to know anything about what happens to your loved one.
You have no
your
right.
Your brother now has someone that owns them that says, no, I don't have to give you any information, and I'm not giving you any information. You don't get to know anything about what became of your brother. You don't get to know anything about what became of your mother.
Okay.
I make that decision, and I decide, no, I'm not going
to
tell you.
That's disgusting to
me. It's horrifying.
It's so
that is criminal abuse.
Mm-hmm. It's criminal.
You know, it is absolutely criminal to steal someone from their loved ones and then hold them hostage and refuse to say anything about where they are, how they're doing. No, you can't send them a Christmas card. No, you can't feed them for the holidays. No, you can't wish them a happy birthday. No, you can't call them. No, they can't call you. No, I'm not going to tell you whether we're feeding them or giving them water still. or if we've already put them on a list of people that are now headed into hospice and will be scheduled for execution at a particular
exactly.
moment in time determined by us. Folks,
yep.
it is all criminal. It is a war out there.
And we proved that in the Colorado legislature.
And we proved that to the Colorado legislature's satisfaction. So, yes.
A big thank you to all the Colorado families. Thank you for gosh, coming out. I called everybody individually. Come on down. You can go on Zoom. You can do written letters. And so everything was flowing into them. So thank you all, Colorado. We're going to start taking in some phone calls because it's starting to
light up with people that would like to join the conversation.
Okay, and the phone number to do that is 845-241-9962. You press a 1. You will be live on the air with Face Us Radio. So here we go. 720, do you have a question or a comment?
Hello,
or do you want
you're
to join
the
conversation?
Air.
Go ahead.
Oh, hi, it's Beth.
Hi.
Hi,
how are you
Beth.
Doing?
Did you get me
Welcome.
On this? Hi, yeah, it's me. It's Beth. I thought I'd chime in because I felt really good about what I did yesterday, and I did not get the time to say any of this, but believe it or not, I'm not sure if I said this in my speech or did I not or did I? I don't remember. But it was right from the heart, and that's why I didn't write it down. Partially. But the other thing was the 22nd, 23rd of March is also the 2-year anniversary of the time I found out that there are people on the internet who are part of the so-called blind community who are calling for me to be put away. Or there was this lady that called me up like 2 years ago and it was a 719 number. I don't even remember. I didn't even get her name. I couldn't get her name. But she accused me of, you know, doing various bad things on a WordPress blog and threatened bodily harm. And I was trolled on the same blog by a guy who is now living in Arizona. Not anybody I like to call a friend, but this guy was like, your guardianship is correct. You are a, and he used really awful mental slurs about my mental health and stuff. It just, I was like, what am I going to do now? But I
yeah.
think this day, yesterday, it was like it came full friggin' circle. I was standing there at the Capitol, and I sat there. I felt like I was doing something good for a change, and it was like full circle. I'm like, no. To me, 99.999% of the guardians that supposedly guardianize our young folks with disabilities, our elderly, blah, 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 they aren't really doing what's best for the person. And my guardianship is much further evidence that, you know, oftentimes you have family guardians or professionals or whatever. A guardian is a guardian no matter what, but they don't have the best interest of their client or they're even the family member at heart. Like, my parents,
yeah.
I did say this in the speech. They subjected me to isolation. I couldn't say what I wanted. I couldn't do what I wanted. I couldn't get married. And I'm actually going to be going on vacation next month, going to visit a friend
right.
that my parents, I'm pretty sure, would say, no, I don't want you to. But it just feels great to be able to get out, do things, and not have to have a guardian's blessing. It feels wonderful. And I want that for everyone in Colorado and beyond.
That's your constitutional right. That is your constitutional right, the right for freedom
yeah.
of assembly and to have a peaceful life. And who are these people to take away those rights?
Exactly.
Exactly. Marcy, you got it. Yeah.
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 Yeah. You did a very powerful speech yesterday, and let me remind all of our listeners tonight. Beth is 100% blind, so we asked her. We picked her up. We took her down there, and she was phenomenal. She just told everybody how it is to be not only blind, but how it is to be in guardianship. You don't have your rights, and everybody really liked Beth to come down there. They would thought that was just amazing. So we were glad to have you down there as well.
Thanks a lot. I am.
Beth, let
yeah.
me,
I'll,
we are
I'll
gonna
be on
keep,
the call, but
yeah.
Let me just ask Beth one
okay.
question. So, what is your Florida connection? Is that where you were
My
raised?
Florida connection is that I was born in Orlando and grew up in Brevard County. I grew up in probably the worst county in Florida. I mean, I'm actually on the Brevard Corruption Watch page, and oh my God, you so much stuff
Brevard
Corruption Watch does.
She was starting an ICE out there and came out here to get away from it, and she's been out here for 11 years now, and done wonderful. She has a wonderful boyfriend, and she's doing really well out here.
I'm doing much better here than I would have done anywhere else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you for
being
so vocal.
Anyway, we're going to move on to another caller now. Okay, so we got the callers in.
Okay, cool.
Thanks for calling in. We love you. Talk to you soon.
We love you, too. Thank you.
Here we go. Let's bring in this is a 505 number. You can call in from anywhere. Or how about 470? I clicked on the one. How about 470? Do you have a question or a comment? 470.
Hi, this is Becky Harbor. How are you?
Hi, Becky.
Becky.
How are you doing?
Hi,
Becky. I'm good. I just want to say I'm not a Colorado. You know I'm Florida. Georgia.
Yeah.
But I want to say congratulations, and I just want to really bring it home that, you know, a senator in Florida could not have said it better. He said, who would have dreamed a woman like Britney Spears could have brought the attention to this horrific matter? And so between Britney, between the I Care a Lot, between our continued fight, I believe our voices are now being heard, and we cannot give up the momentum. We have to stay at this. I had a call today from Miami-Dade, a woman in Hawaii. She said, I've got your name and number, and someone gave it to me, and I need your help. And, I mean, you could clearly tell through everything that, you know, it's my thoughts went to if I would have only been now where, I mean, right now, knowing what I know, when my husband was taken, I would have been able to save him. And I just want to tell you that we just have to keep this momentum up. We can't give up. And congratulations to every one of you. It's a great move on your part. And you know, thank God your voices were heard.
Yes. Hi, they definitely were heard. Yeah.
Becky, can I
they
ask
definitely
you,
are.
Can
and
I
and
ask
Robin
you
has
question?
One of them really profound voices, and he just,
oh,
woo.
Now.
Yes, you do. But wait, you know,
I mean,
Barbara,
I had three calls today, a stranger from Miami-Dade in Hawaii. I had another man say, I saw you on Adam Walzer's report. My story is your story. This is what happened to my mother at Select Specialty. Then a Christina Montanti called me and said, I can't find my mother. This is what we're doing. I mean, you know, that's three calls in one day. I mean, we can't give up. We have got to fight.
Yes.
And you know,
who was the senator in Florida that made that comment?
I'll get you his name. He was very sincere, a guy about 40, dark hair. He was on one of the meetings that I was not personally at. I was going on and listening to Doug Franks and Ray Contreras and saw him, and he said, who would have ever believed that Britney Spears would have been the ringleader? And, you know, I wish that she would do a march with her in the front and down in Washington, because I cannot tell you how powerful if we would all meet and march the streets of Washington to let the real people know. Because they are at the root of this. Washington, do not kid yourself, absolutely knows what is going on in each one of these states with this corruption.
You're phenomenal,
oh, yeah.
Becky. You're so lucky. We didn't want to meet you this way, Becky, but, man, we're so glad that you're with us.
And I'm so glad. And I can say it 100 times. I don't know how I would have ever made it through this without the support of this group. And, you know, just please don't ever give up. Please take every call. Please fight like you've never fought before, because like this man says, the one that's talking, he says, this is a crime. And it is. I mean, if you could just see the autopsy of my husband and know that if I would have done this, I would have been locked up for 30 years and they will literally get by with it. And this is the way. It's not just my husband. It's Karen Turk's mother. It's Marcy's mother. It's they are getting by with murder. And you know what they do? They throw our loved ones in these nursing homes. You know why? Because they can, and they know that they can neglect them because no family member is even allowed to know where they're at. We have to stop this.
Like you say,
you're absolutely right. This is why I speak so adamantly and why I do not pull my punches verbally. I am willing to say, call a spade, call a crime, call victims victims. These people are criminals, doing criminal acts. And
under the color of law.
Under color of law.
Under the color of law.
Hiding behind black robes and suits and ties and the official titles that they're given by people in black robes and suits and ties. But it's criminal organization when it begins to do criminal activity and then shelter those who are responsible for that criminal activity. It doesn't legitimize the crime. It delegitimizes the court doing the crimes.
Exactly.
It means that what we have is a organized crime organization that has moved into where our courts ought to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful.
That's exactly right. That is well said. And notice the American revolution on what is happening to the atrocity in Ukraine. It is going on their own U.S. soil, and they do not even know it. I promise you that if we could get our stories to the American people on every news channel, on every news column, if the people would revolt, they would not allow this to be happening to our elderly and to our disabled. They would not. But it's like I stood up in the U.S. I mean, in Tallahassee, I said, this is America's best kept secret. And it is. It is a secret that is getting out now that we cannot stop. I mean, we have got to continue throughout the year to right now, these calls are coming in right and left how the hospitals are holding people hostage. And the reason they're doing this is to gain the guardianship. Another thing that needs to be said is when the adult protective role steps in on these guardianships in the hospitals, you do not get to see the file until the person is dead. So like what I now know is that my APS file, from day one, it was to gain a guardianship of my husband. But because that file was not released till his death, there was no proof of that. There was no fighting in court. So all these issues that we now know, we have got to fight, because that's their little secrets to gaining these guardianships.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. What if I can hide from you all of my activities?
You think we're living in Ukraine bombarded by Putin? You think we're living in Ukraine bombarded by Putin?
Yes.
Yeah. Or I also want to talk to all the listeners about going to Robin and I actually became America United International
ambassadors,
Tier 3. And that's AUI, American United International. They are having a countdown group by Optin USA. You can find them on Facebook, okay? We are all actually going to the United Nations with a documentary, everybody. So if you please, I want you to go onto Facebook, and you can email me. You can talk to me at facehouseradio@hotmail.com. Go to AUI's Countdown, The Toll of Injustice on U.S. President Biden's Watch. Submit your stories there. We want as many stories in the nation as we can get possibly. Because we are putting
it. And where do you submit it? Where do you submit the story? Could you please say it again?
That's what I told you, Becky. I told you about that one.
Yeah, but you sent the link and I can't sign up for it. I can't sign up on that link.
I'll send it to you.
Okay, so what you want to do is get a hold of me, and maybe I'll get Elizabeth Benedetto on here as well to talk about it. It is something we all need to work together, and we have Zena Crenshaw, that is Dr. Zena Crenshaw, that is the head of this, and Belinda Parker Brown, and boy, those both are firecrackers, and I tell you what, they are amazing, amazing women that are putting this together. So we are actually going to start working on this. I mean, this week we had all of legislation to do, so we're going to be working on getting these stories. And get a hold of me at facelessradio@hotmail.com. I can tell you how to do that, but you go to, it's called AUI, apostrophe S, Biden's Watch. Okay, so you can go on there now. I'm going to actually take a picture of it, put it up on Facebook, everybody, so you'll know exactly where to go to. And go put your stories on there. Okay?
All right.
Let me do that real quickly. So anyway, we are, so Becky, just stay with us. We're going to bring in another 505 caller. 505,
hi,
do you have a question? Hi.
This is Lynn. That's me.
Oh. Hey.
I'm your 505.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, everybody. Wonderful. What a great job yesterday. God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless. So I just kind of want to throw a little thing in here about, you know, when Joshua was facing going out and utterly destroying all of the Ites, the Mennonites, the Azurites and the Hittites, and all those were all the giants of the land at the time, remember? So
right. That's
who we are right now. We are the spirit of Joshua. And the Lord is on us. He has us covered. And so when I hear people go, well, I don't know if we're going to win or blah, blah, you know what? It ain't up to us. Turn around when you start having those doubts that the devil's putting in your mind, and you start going, Lord, I know you got control of this, and now is our time, because we have been appointed to fight this fight.
Yes.
And we're going to fight it, and we're going to win. And here's what I would love to tell the listeners. Educate yourselves on the RICO Act, which is RICO. It's called Racketeering Influenced Corrupt Organization. It is run by the Black Robe Mafia, not of just probate, but of all the courts. But the probate is the biggest issue right now, because they are absolutely, all the elements of racketeering are there. They're abducting our loved ones. They're kidnapping them, the guardians. The guardians can be charged with second-degree kidnapping. In District 6 up there in Pennsylvania, I think it's District 6 or District 10, the guardians were prosecuted for racketeering. We've got jurisprudence now. Jurisprudence is starting to show up, and that's what we need. Those are things that have happened that we can now fall back on to use in our claims, our lawsuits, our motions to the courts. Do not be afraid to recuse these judges for running a racketeering on a judicial platform under the color of law. Get educated, because this is what we are talking about. This is nothing but a racketeering enterprise. It's for money. It embezzles. It extorts. It commits murder. It kidnaps. All the elements are there. But
who is this speaking? Who is this speaking?
My name is Lang Burnett, and I spoke yesterday
at the legislature.
And so what I want to say is, do not have doubts. When that doubt creeps in, you say, I have the spirit of Joshua on me, and Lord God Almighty, you are going to make me a warrior for this fight, because that's where we're at. And we are going to save the lives that haven't been lost yet. My mom left us in January. The guardians killed her. They starved her to death. The guardian called me in December, and she said, Mom's not eating. I said, well, put her on IVs. Oh, no, we're not going to do that. Well, you know what? I'm filing murder charges against them. I'm not afraid to go into these courts and tell the judge, you're running a racketeering ring on a judicial platform under the color of the law, and I want you to recuse yourself today, right now, because this is done. You have violated your constitutional rights. You violated my constitutional rights. You are committing capital felony treason. When judges and attorneys do not uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, they have just violated their oath that they took, which was to uphold every citizen of the state that they represent, of the United States of America. They have just violated the constitutional rights, and that is treason. So do not be afraid. And if they say, oh, we're going to put you in jail, no, you're not. You're going to come right back out of there and fight at them. We're all in this together now. And now we have a force to be reckoned with, because we, the people, we have a Bill of Rights that stands behind us. We have a Bill of Rights that gives us the authority to take these people out and change the government. And that's what we're going to do now as a group together, as a force.
There you go.
So,
exactly.
Yes. And Robin, I wanted to embellish on what you said. The reason these attorneys.
Hold on a second. We got some, if you're not speaking, please mute your phones, please.
So
okay, go ahead.
These attorneys, Robin, you were talking earlier, and I can't remember what you were saying, but I thought, okay, so these attorneys are using the Bible of Title 15. Title 15 is an abomination to the Constitution of the United States of America. It violates every single constitutional right of our elders, of our loved ones, of our moms and dads, our aunts and uncles, our grandparents, our brothers and sisters, our children. Probate is not just about old people. It's about little kids. It's about all of it, guardianships. So it's all in there. It's just two separate sides, and they try to keep it separated, but it's all in the same club. And these black robe mafia judges have got their gangs of attorneys. And if you'll do some research and look at the different districts in your state and look at the names of who are the public administrators, the conservators who are stealing the estates and selling the houses, who are the opposing counsels that are bringing these innocents into the court, our loved moms and dads. My mother, in her 90s, was really in her 75. She had another 10 years if she had been able to stay with me. They're so confused. I mean, they're in there for a few weeks, a month, 2 months, 3 months, and they're like, why am I in here? Why are they holding me against my will? What's going on here? They create this scenario to create confusion for these elders. It's absolutely, as you said, Robin, this is criminal. It's criminal. It's beyond criminal. It's dark. It is evil. It is satanic. And we are going to bring this wall of Jericho down. And that's what we did yesterday. When we stood there in that legislature and Richard Holtorf, Holtorf, the representative, he heard us because he saw his aunt go through this. We have an ally. We need to cover him in prayer because he's going to be under attack.
And Kim Ransom.
And we are going to be.
Oh, my gosh, yes. It was amazing. And I will give you his name in just a second. It was Representative Kim Ransom was the one who ran the bill. Really a neat woman. She was with us in the Catherine Falk bill.
She's been helping to fight this fight a long time. And Richard Holtorf.
Yeah.
Holtorf.
Yeah.
One day
I know it's a funny name.
How exactly do you pronounce your name? And I'll get it right.
Holtorf. Right. Holtorf. And he's just a good old boy from the country, but he's going through it. He saw his aunt go through it, and that's why his heart covered us yesterday.
Yeah, hold on.
And he's there for us. And
he's
on our side, and we have to build our team with these. He's going to help us in a big, huge way, but he's going to come under spiritual attack because this is nothing but spiritual warfare, all of it.
Right.
And if you know the Lord Jesus,
everybody,
highly advise you, get on your knees and pray and say, Jesus, come into my heart right now and fill me and let me know what's going on here so I can be effective in this fight. My mother didn't have to die, and I'm going to hold every single person who did not help pass 160267 in 2016 that was sitting in the legislature seat. I'm going to hold every single one of them accountable for her death. And I'm going to hold every attorney of every firm here in Denver who didn't pass that legislative law that would have changed everything for right now. Everything would have changed. I'm going to hold them all accountable.
Yeah, hold on a second, Lang. So his name is Richard Holt, H-O-L-T-O-R-F. He is a Republican. He, awesome, awesome man. He is in room 307 at the Denver Capitol building, and that number is 303-866-2398. Anybody can call him up and say thank you for helping us get this bill through in Denver, Colorado. If you want to do that, I'm sure he'd be glad to hear from you. He was just a really warrior in that yesterday. It was amazing. That's all I can say.
He gave me his email. Let me see. I wrote it on the back of the paper here. If I don't find it, Luann, I will send
his
email to Luann.
I'll give you the email.
And Luann,
hold on
you can email everybody. Okay.
Yeah, his
excellent.
His email is Richard Holtorf@house.state.us. And if anybody wants that, I'm going to be putting it up on Facebook,
Well, now, also, I want to bring up, this is something that you and I can help the efforts of these representatives by contacting the members of that committee, and I honestly don't have that in front of me, but the members of that committee
that were
responsible for allowing this bill not to die, but keeping it alive and moving it forward in a way that it can be brought back up and it can be voted on in the future with amendments that will assist it in its passage.
Yeah.
We need to contact particularly all the Democrats, but really I think every member of that that group, and thank them for keeping this bill alive and let them know how vitally important it is to us to see that this bill gets shepherded through, and to ask them to please do everything within your power to make sure that this bill gets through.
Right.
Because that is something you and I can do right now that has never been available to us as an option before, that actually can make a true difference in the future for people who are in guardianship now, for people who are going to be in guardianship in the future, for people that may otherwise become victimized when this could protect them. So this is something you can do, practical step. Let's go look up our legislators for that group that was the ones that
and
heard this bill.
I have all those emails, everybody. So
that,
if anybody
you need to
contact,
publish that into.
I will do that.
Face us so that people can go there, find all those emails, and make those emails. You know,
right.
let those people know how much we appreciate what they have done and how much we desire for them to continue to do the right thing concerning this.
Yeah, and we also had a Zoom call there, and Rick Black also he came on Zoom, and he really lit up the whole room there.
Room.
I mean, it was just amazing because it was on a big screen, and he just told them how it is. And I see that he has actually joined our show tonight. We're gonna actually ask Rick Black to press A1 when he's ready to come on and speak to us about what he said here in Colorado. So we're gonna wait for him to do that. I'm sure he's listening. And I'm going to wait for him to do that. I'm going to bring on another caller, a 202 number, if you have a question or a comment before we get Rick on there.
Hi, welcome to the show. 7202, your number starts with 720 area code, and it starts with a 2.
You have a, say hello to everybody.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, there you are. Hi.
This is the Wells Brothers.
How you doing? Hey, we won the fight. We haven't won the battle. It feels
That's
good
right.
to win the fight, yeah. you know. But we haven't won the battle. And you know, I was sitting there, and I was videotaping Richard when he came on out. And he's and basically, you know, until he's like, "Don't videotape me," and I'm like, "Why?" And he goes, "Cause I cuss a lot." I said, "God damn it, cuss." And I, excuse me, Lord, get behind me, Satan. And he was like, okay, now we have our work cut out for us. Now we got to smooth the other side of the aisle. And he kind of pointed to this one lady that was, you know, in the committee, you know, because all of a sudden Jennifer Kowalewski got a hold of him. And he's like, and I was saying, I'm like, can I take a picture of you? And she looked at me and she goes, why would you want to take a picture of me? And, you know, my California ways, I said, well, why wouldn't I want to take a picture of the best-looking woman on the committee? She went to the bathroom. She came on back, and he goes, you still want that picture? Greg grabs the phone. He's taking a picture. And I think Robin was there, too. And she looked at me and goes, do you still want that selfie?
So that's smoothing the other side.
That's smoothing.
We have to take one for the team.
Well, long story, so I posted that on Facebook and stuff, and my son's wife that works at the Capitol was furious because she's just starting out as an aide, and that's her idol. She said, how the hell did you do that? She was mad at me. I'm like, well, you know, I'm allowed to do that. And she goes, and the guy said, don't post, you know, Richard said, don't post the picture. I don't post this on the internet. I said, frickin' America. She was mad at me that I posted it on the internet. Her point was saying was they're so catty. They remember names. They'll remember you. When you go there next time, they know exactly who Robin is. They're going to know exactly who Luann is. They're going to know exactly who Islaing is. They're going to know that major. David,
he's key.
He is key. I got his information. We're going to hunt him down. But since we just got
have,
a little
I already have
part
a connection
this,
to him. His name is David.
Okay, because I know
already
need
have
that.
Yes, I have connection
yeah.
with him already.
We're
already
down.
Talking in email. This was a veteran, everybody, we met yesterday that, oh, my gosh, you ought to see this man's credentials. And they literally stripped the
Congressional Medal of Honor.
He was a man
he worked
of
at
honor.
The White House. He worked in D.C. He's an animal. And they call him crazy. They call him that he's got PTSD or something and saying he's crazy. Like, I'm not crazy, guys. Look, I'm here. And he is living in a homeless shelter right now.
Right.
A decorated
veteran
working for D.C., working at the Capitol on the Hill. I think I'm getting a little off track here of what I want to go through.
Anyway, we're going to bring on Rick Black right now, if that's okay with you. Do you want to? We're going to keep you chimed in, okay? So
we're
going to bring in Rick Black.
All right, we'll mute.
Everybody, welcome Rick Black. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Luann, thanks.
From Zear, C-E-A-R. Tell me what that stands for again, real quick.
I was just enjoying listening. From afar, there's a lot of joy on your show tonight, as there should be.
Yeah.
SEER stands for the Center for Estate Administration Reform. And, you know, that's a name that we actually came up with a fellow Coloradan attorney. Athena Rowe several years ago. And it's a simple acronym and it works. And we tend to focus on the numbers, the money. Because that is easy to capture and quantify. But as we all know, the issue here is far more emotional, far more personal, and very, very physical as to how guardianships cause the demise of this vulnerable population. Hey, I just wanted to listen because a couple of weeks ago we had a great turnout in Tallahassee, not near as good as what you had yesterday, but Floridians, Becky Harbor, who was on your show earlier, was part of that, Marcy Friedman, Hillary, others. But we had almost 10 Florida victims, victim family members who joined us, and we made a big impact in Tallahassee during their legislative session. What you started yesterday with the 12 people that were there, and as you build your army, even more people, it's going to make an impact. But as you and Robin both know, this bill was guardianship reform light. Kim Ransom is a Republican in a very Democratic state. She knew that she was up against the bar, as every state will be as we drive for reforms in this area. And so she nibbled off what she thought she could get away with. And quite frankly, had you and your team not shown up yesterday, that bill would have been denied. There's not a question in my mind. I mean, I didn't get time to get to you, but I had a full deck yesterday here. And although I was thinking a lot about you and that bill, I had no intention of being a part of that whole effort. And Kim's legislative aide, Nick, called about 11 o'clock our time and just said, Rick, will you call in? We'll get you on the Zoom, but we want as much support on this bill as we can get. And I said, not a problem. I'll drop everything. I'll be there suited up with a speech ready to go. And of course, you saw the results of that. But to the point, transparency, exit ramps on contested guardianships, criminal investigations of attorneys who commit constructive fraud and professional guardians, all of that is where we've got to take Colorado if we expect to slow down the atrocities and the exploitation. You know, what we heard from Mindy Gates, who's the deputy director of a big organization within the Department of Human Services there in Colorado. Clearly her protection of the guardianship system and her lack of understanding of the issues gives us a sense of just how well the Colorado State Bar has done in their propaganda ministry to make it appear that guardianship is a great thing and everybody should have one. Excuse me. You know, when she first said she didn't know what the statewide census is and then said, well, I've been told 3,000, I can assure you there are far more, likely like seven times more wards in the state of Colorado than 3,000. So great, great day. And I just want to thank both you and Robin, not only for your show and what it does, but what you did as team leaders to get all those folks at the Capitol and really support what Kim's trying to do.
Yeah, and last time we talked to the Colorado State Bar in another bill that we did, they came forward and said that there was 18,500 people in guardianship. And Senator Laura Woods and all of us just dropped our jaw. We're like, are you kidding me? And then when she said there was only 3,000 in there, I just shook my head saying, I just don't believe it. I just don't. You know, and they said that you have to go to all the courts to find out. I mean, even then, are we going to even know how many is in guardianship here? Don't they? They don't have
the
word to log in.
The truth is that there is no official.
There is no.
A body that counts to tell this is how many people are in guardianship.
Right.
There is no accountability in the courts that assign these guardianships.
Yes.
There is no oversight. There's no accountability. We can't know how many people are in guardianship with any positivity because that's part of the shroud of secrecy that surrounds the particular system of court that is responsible for this area of the law where there are so many are hidden because we know that they're actually doing crimes that they're hiding.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually doing unethical things that they're hiding. They're actually doing things that are absolutely immoral that they're hiding. And one of the things they're hiding is how many people they're doing it to.
Yeah, I know.
That's by design. And we can change it.
Right.
What you did yesterday and what we will continue to do as an army will change it. We know many folks are on death row. We know how many people commit violent crimes every year. We know how many people are committed. What we have to do is force the legislative branch, which was that effort yesterday, to create statutes and requirements that force each court clerk that when you open up an adult guardianship case, you keep a tally. When you close one out, you keep a tally. When someone dies, you keep a tally. And we can get these key performance metrics elevated, but we have to make it a priority. You know, most of the people you were with yesterday were frightened half out of their wits, but they had the courage to go. Most don't want to return. That's not a comfortable environment. But everybody needs to understand the two young ladies who came and talked about how wonderful the system works, those people will be there every day if that's what the Bar Association asked them to do. And we're 50 years behind the eight ball on this. We can get it done.
Right.
And we're going to do it for free because it's important to all of us. But it means we have to return, and we will have to armor up, and we will have to be ready to do battle from a Christian, you know, words perspective with a lot of heart. And I'm sure we can get to the promised land.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Well, your speech was amazing.
I appreciate your willingness to step up and join in the effort yesterday, and I appreciate your coming in tonight to kind of lend your support to what we're doing here now, and I just appreciate you as a human being because I know that your heart really is dedicated to this cause and this fight, and that you've done as much as almost anyone I can think of to assist people who are in the process of trying to battle against these crimes,
right?
And victims of these crimes.
So real quick, Rick, tell us. I know that there's Florida, Colorado, California, and Michigan that have real strong advocates in there that are going up against legislation. Do you know of any other states where they're getting pretty powerful with advocates in there?
New Mexico is doing a great job. Oregon is coming together, which is encouraging. Washington is building.
Yes.
Those are the states that would capture it. We're working hard to get New York and Pennsylvania organized. The Carolinas as well. We have major issues here. And Virginia, we have a couple, about a half dozen, that are very intentional. But the bar there is significantly more organized to battle anyone who raises an issue. So it's been a little tough to get people to work together because, these people are going to work to discredit and cause friction between all of the folks who are injured by these acts, and that's why it's so important that we be tolerant, that we be diverse in our views, that we be accepting of all that diversity, but we also be very intentional that when people become destructive and work against the greater good of the whole, that we all work to extricate that from the ranks because it becomes a cancer. So I named a bunch of states there. New Mexico is one that I'm very proud of. That team has really come together over the last 4 years, and most people would view, based on what occurred back in 2017, that this issue was fixed in New Mexico, much like they would view Nevada and what we did there in 2016 and 17. But the fact is, the problems are still there because neither
right.
state was willing to adopt probably the most important aspect of this, and that's this statewide measurement of census and total assets, including trust assets. Let's be transparent about what this process does. It removes the rights of any individual. It removes the ability of a family to protect their loved one or anyone to protect a loved one. And it does everything to hide both the numbers as well as the dollars that are consumed by the bar when someone is placed into guardianship or conservatorship. The other one is a statewide jury of your peers to hear all contested cases. We have to create an exit ramp for these victims when you have a judge with poor judgment in any given county. The appeal process doesn't address that. Filing civil cases in either the state or federal courts doesn't address that because it requires $100,000. You can't fight these things pro se, and to fight them requires dollars, and the dollars at that point are completely consumed by the parties who are exploiting the person under guardianship. So, as we move forward, we know what a desired or best practice guardianship system looks like, and we've just got to continue to press on for those goals.
Very well said, and thanks for the update on what's going on on all the different states. And you know, if any of our listeners are listening and you are having a problem in any state with, you know, family court, whatever it is, divorce court or any of that, probate court, just get a hold of us. Get a hold of Rick Black and get a hold of Robin Austin, Marcy Friedman, Hillary Hogue, Luann Fleming, any of us, and we can help you, find out who is in your area that's going through the same thing as you, which we've done for the last 5 years. We've connected families all over the place.
I feel moved to tell the story about what happened to me when I was just in elementary school, and I looked around and I saw that there was just a group of about 8 or 10 guys,
oh,
kids.
No, this is your power
that
story
were,
again.
That were getting bullied, and I realized. One day, I thought this was on my mind very hard for a number of months because I hate that. I hate to see the strong taking advantage of and using their strength to prey on the weak. And one day, I thought of an answer, and I called together. I made a call, let each one of those people know. Look, I'm going to have a meeting. And there was about 8 people that showed up to the little meeting that I pulled together, and I started the meeting by saying, "All right, listen, this is the last day that you will ever be bullied." Friend Ron was like, "What are you going to do about it? Come on."
Yeah, I
said,
that.
"No, no, no. Now listen." I said, "What we're going to do is when you are faced with a bully, next time I want you to hold up your fist and I want you to say, 'You'd better be careful because I'm a member of POW.'" And they're going to mock you and they're going to say, "What's POW? Oh, I'm so scared." And you're going to tell them, "POW is a group, and I can't tell you how many of us there are, but there's a lot. And I can't tell you who's in it, but you're going to find out if you continue to try to bully me, because we're all sworn to fight together to end this. And one day, when you least expect it," and by the way, while you're saying all this, you're to be looking around behind them as if you're seeing the members of POW lining up around you.
Yeah.
And that's protectors of the weak, and they're going to pay you back every bit that you deserve.
We're doing that now, though, Robin.
And for every punch that you punch me, you're going to get a punch from every one of those people.
And I remember that.
And the effect,
tell you everybody that,
was profound because they actually started to put this into effect. And it was overnight.
That's
now the bullies are on the defensive.
Right.
And I want you all to understand that what we have in face us is POW. So I want you to know that you are not alone, and there is a large group of people that are willing to stand with you and fight with you. And I want you to understand that when you speak as us. You let people know, look, you might not think I'm strong, but we are strong. And we will come for you. And you need to know that before you go any further.
Right. And Beth, up in the, when she was talking up there, and she said at the very end of her sentence, if you can't face me, face us. And everybody just was like, wow, that was really well said. So, you know, just speak out like that, everybody, and just tell these people it sucks to be you, because, you know, you guys are doing wrong.
Because you're
on
the wrong side of this thing, and you're going to be held responsible.
Yeah, and you know what? And I looked at those, we have a lot of good attorneys here. Let's not, we're not going to say they're all bad. We got some great attorneys.
No, we would never
say
that.
We've got some good attorneys all coming together. I'm putting them all together, and we are going to be doing a documentary on some of these. We're going to try to get them together and get a documentary on all these attorneys that are also, that are been brought down by the bars claiming that they are mentally ill and can't do their jobs anymore. That's what we're also putting together.
Right.
Because
they
are also.
Because, folks, it is not just, we're not the only victims.
Only victims.
If you're part of the legal profession and you stand up to the Black Robe Mafia, they come for you, and they come after you, and they tear you down every way that they can.
Exactly.
And we've got plenty of attorneys that are willing to stand up and say, that's what happened to me, what happened to me, that's what happened to me, that's what happened to me. They're trying to do that to me. And it's the attorneys who stand up for their clients and say what needs to be said and do what needs to be done to do their best to defend people against these criminals.
Right, we're up to about 8 or 10 of these attorneys that have come forward so far. But Rick Black, you did an amazing job coming out and doing the Zoom. I'm really glad Nick Sands got a hold of you. That really helped us a lot there. So thank you for doing that for us. And you're just loved around the country. A lot of people talk to you. I'm sure they reach you day and night like they do us. But keep doing the good work.
Robin. Or Robin and Luann, thanks, but the credit goes to you. You are building an army there, and again, thanks, but the credit goes to you.
There's plenty of credit to go around, my friend.
Yes, there's plenty of credit.
I have to share.
And our group out here has really grown. I mean, I've got so many people. I mean, they asked me, can I get some people down there? I literally was picking up with my car. I mean,
but
there's a lot of people too scared, too.
Yes, it's true that we do our best to help people to organize together. But without their hearts and their minds and their words and their souls,
like Becky
fighting
Harbor,
with us and standing with us
and
speaking out on their own behalf, speaking out with us, we're nothing. It is the
group
of people.
I'll let you get back to your other listeners, but thanks so
very
much.
Yes, we will. Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thanks for calling in as usual.
You bet. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Rick Black, everybody. He is from Sphere, everybody. I mean, he is a really awesome, awesome advocate, everybody. We've got some more callers that have called in, and we've got a couple more. Let's bring in a 352 number. You have a question or a comment?
352,
Hillary just gave me the information, so I just called in real quick.
Okay, good. Welcome to the show, or you're listening to Faceless Radio. What do you have to say? Come out and talk.
this is Ray Contreras. I've spoken to you before.
Hey, Ray. Hey.
On the other occasion.
Oh, my God.
Hey, good.
Welcome.
Thanks. Yeah, I think we all did a pretty good job in Tallahassee. You know, we had some success on changing some of the bills there. So we just got to keep at it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I heard your speech, and I've been posting as much as I can. You did an awesome job. And in Marcy, Hillary, you guys are a powerhouse down there in Florida, really. You guys are doing a wonderful job. And then there were some more articles out there that were just posted about that Lynn, what was his name? Hillary, help me out with that. Lynn Rod Douglas, right? Was that his name?
There you go, yeah. Lindrod Douglas.
Yeah, that was
Guardian.
He was put in jail. Oh my God, I think he got 10 years in jail, and he got 10 years probation from what I heard. Marcy, do you know anything on that, or Hillary? Now hold on a second. Let me see if they're okay. Marcy's. I don't know why I have her on mute. Marcy, you're still with us.
Yes, I'm still with you. Hi, Renee.
Hey, Lori.
That Hillary would know more about that case.
Okay, let me get Hillary back on. Okay, Lori.
Oh, there
Hillary,
I am.
July.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm unmuted. just a few things, you know. So Lindrod Douglas, he got 10 years. He's already done 744 days, which Anthony Palmieri, the bigwig of everything, all things guardianship, made light of, that he's already served the same amount of days as the, you know, Chapter 744, which are the guardianship statutes in Florida, which, you know, is not humorous in any way, shape, or form. But he'll be in jail for 10 years, but also filed the following day after Lindrod Douglas was sentenced was something from the judge for restitution. On one case, Lindrod Douglas is to pay $123,000 in restitution to a family that he terrorized. The ward's son was arrested because he was still living in his father's home after he was put into guardianship. And we can see it. We know people that have been arrested. We know Lisa Martino, who I'd like to read the hearing info at the end of the show, please and thank you. We know it's the truth. So not only was he terrorized, arrested, put in jail, and you know his father would have said to the guardian, no, I want my son to live there. He's my son. Let him live there
right
free.
Right.
This guardian also stole from his family, and I honestly, this is what I believe. Sorry about the background dog. I believe, seeing that Lindrod Douglas does not have a pot to piss in, that the court system, the probate courts, should pay restitution to these families because they were involved in the guardianships and they had oversight over what was going on. The judges signed off on all the filings. So obviously the judges weren't reading anything concerning the documents. The clerk's office, you know, and God loves the clerk employees, but let's be honest. They're getting paid minimum wage, $10-$15 an hour.
Wow.
They're all young. I mean, they can't commiserate with our plight. And they're just, they have a certain amount of files that they have to go through, I'm sure, in a week. And they just basically, I'm sure, on a lot of them don't have the time to scrutinize everything. So, I'm not going to say it's not going to happen, but in a perfect world, there wouldn't be guardianship. And in the perfect world, until a guardianship is abolished, the court system would compensate these families for being tortured by these guardians, by these attorneys, and by the court system itself. It's just insane. And then I'm just going to mention one thing quickly, and thanks, Ray, for being patient. So there is a case in Orange County. Rebecca Fearley was the first guardian, right? The petitioner was Denise Willis, who was Jan Garwood's guardian. She petitioned to put, let's say, Jane Smith in guardianship. Rebecca Fearley is appointed the guardian. When Rebecca Fearley is arrested and resigned, do you know who became that person's guardian? Denise Willis, the petitioner.
Oh, gosh.
Which the law changed since she petitioned.
Oh my God!
This never should have happened. But it's just something. But I'm going. I tried to say, and I couldn't understand why. No one heard me. But Rick Flack said today about you and Robin, Luann, that he sent you something yesterday morning, and you really stepped up to the plate. And there were however many people, a dozen people, speaking, and how utterly impressed he is and was that you managed to get people and you guys were there, you know, with bells on. And obviously we know how productive everyone was. So I just want to, you know, praise praise the two of you as well, as Ray and Becky and Marcy. And this is, I think this was just a dress rehearsal in Tallahassee this session.
Yeah.
What do you say? That next session we're really going to be on the ball more so than we already were.
Well,
what do you say, Ray?
Oh, exactly. I mean, you stole the words out of my mouth. That's exactly. This was just a dress rehearsal. Next year, we're going to come in even stronger, and we're going to demand bigger changes to really abolish what's happening in these public courts. I couldn't agree more with Hillary on how they're involved, and they owe restitution to all these families for changing people's wills and trusts and healthcare surrogates and guardians and everything you can think of. I mean, they're not acting as judges. They're acting as kings, you know, taking people's lives and then giving them to their friends and saying, you know, my friends are going to manage your land, not your family.
He's
got a powerhouse out there too, man. And Doug Frank too.
When Lynrod Douglas, when the judge read his sentence, before the judge called for-profit ex-professional guardian, before he called Lynrod Douglas a con man, he had to give us the family members the middle finger, because he said, Lynrod Douglas, you were in charge of elderly and disabled people whose families couldn't get along or they had no one, and you are a con man. It's not about family dysfunction, and I'm tired of hearing about maybe it gets going, but it doesn't. It doesn't perpetuate what is done in probate courts. And I can't stand it when family members are always mentioned in a derogatory way, and we know why. It's just, you know, gaslighting.
Right.
A tactic.
Yeah.
It's a tactic that is used in order for them to come and then exploit the vulnerable elder and exploit the estate. Because the more that they point finger at all of us, the more money that they're going to be getting. And that is the corruption part of it. It is so horrible.
In our case, I asked the attorneys, you show me where I took any money from my mom, and they couldn't come up with one paper. Nothing.
Because
I knew I didn't take nothing from my mom. You know, they couldn't prove it.
They
stole from us, you know.
And they give it to the one. They give it to the one that's going to be the abuser, because the good guys like us are going to continue to fight for justice and for their well-being of our vulnerable, loving parents. And they know the game. It is my experience, they side with the criminals. That's what they do.
Marcy, if we had police to enforce, you know, these judgments, right, to do investigations, these corrupt courts would be out of business. But there are never any police investigations. And even the ones that are done, if they come back unsubstantiated, the courts don't care. They go on with the guardianship, you know. And Lynrod Douglas, in his 9-year career as a guardian, DCF would back him up as their, you know, proposed guardian. There were 20 different attorneys that backed him up who are millionaires over and over again, and nothing, absolutely nothing happened. And when Lynrod Douglas was sentence, he apologized to them, and that is what we have to impress on everyone, because everything, the guardians are going, they're criminal, they're thieves, but they are not the ringleaders. The attorneys are the ones that orchestrate everything, and we have got to accept that.
Not all of them. I've had some good attorneys. The Sandy Boyce and Rott was amazing.
But
my amazing.
Right. But
not everybody is bad.
We've got some good attorneys out here in Colorado, too.
No, but, you know, you're right, Hillary. It is the corrupt attorneys that orchestrate everything. Yes, there are good attorneys, and we're not maligning them, and we're not talking
against them at all.
We're applauding them and supporting them. But the ones that are corrupt, the ones that are corrupt.
Go ahead, Marcy.
Face it. The only way that they're going to make the money is continuing to create family dysfunction, or you don't know what one attorney tells the other one that the other one did. And so they all work together in this little circle. Yeah.
Right.
That's what they do.
Robin, what
they're all
saying.
Huge.
Yeah.
Right. What I was saying was simply that we support the work of those who are on the right side of
exactly.
the law. We support the work
and we
of
promote
those
them
who are
every
honest
chance.
Attorneys.
We also support the attorneys that were told that they had to have mental evaluations to go back to work because these other attorneys didn't want them working for their clients. You know,
they malign the mm-hmm. reputation of those that they wish to take out of the game because they won't play ball in the court.
Exactly.
It's like, well, we're over here playing tennis and you're playing badminton. Well, we don't allow badminton in this court because badminton, the rules are actually that you take care of your clients, and we don't take care of our clients. We just attack from both sides on our clients. That's how we play it in this court. And if you don't play by the rules where you attack and then we attack and then you attack and then we attack till all the money's gone, then you're not welcome in this court. And if you're going to come in here and play badminton and you're going to play by rules that say, no, I'm looking out for my client. You can look out for your client, but I'm looking out for my client.
Right.
Then we're going to destroy you along with your client because you're taking money out of our pockets.
Right.
We don't want this court to function in a fair way, in an honest way, in a just way. We want it to function in the way that it does, which is corrupt, so that we can rob people. And that's what's going on. And that is those attorneys who are doing the corruption, who are doing the robbing, stealing, and killing.
Jail, like Lynn Rod
we
Douglas.
Intend to have them prosecuted for their criminal acts,
we're
like Lynn Ron Douglas.
Right.
With those attorneys that are not, we stand with you. We are fighting for you. We are standing with you. And we're on your side and your team.
If
you're doing the right thing, an attorney
right.
or a judge, man, you need to be patting faces on the back because we're your best friends.
Right. We have another caller.
Exactly.
A 720 number.
Yes.
See for this. Yep, 720. You have a question, comment? Were you there at the meeting yesterday? 720.
No,
is it me you're talking to?
You're live on the air.
Okay,
I was at the meeting. I missed the beginning of the program, so I don't know if you brought me up, but when I tuned in, you were talking about the woman whose brother and mother were both when they're trying to get me. But you've been talking about how, you know, we're shining a light on this, we're shining a light. What I have found for 30 years is that people don't, you know, we are shining a light finally, thanks to Brittany, different things, we are making a dent. But mostly, people do not want to believe this goes on in America. I just pulled it up now, which is great. On YouTube, there is a clip about the show The Newsroom back in 2012 with Jeff Daniels. And if you want to look it up, the clip is America is not the greatest country in the world anymore. And he's giving these newspaper men, and they're on stage, you know, and the students are all asking questions. And this one girl, which I have up right now, she is, can you say why America in one sentence is the greatest country in the world with this big smile on her face? And these different reporters, you know, with a big smile, they, oh, because the freedom and the this and the that. And they get to Jeff Daniels, and he said, no, I can't. He said, because it's not. He said it used to be, but our rights have been eroded, which is what I've seen. You know, we used to be the greatest country in the world. Everyone looked up to us. I know. I lived in other countries. Everybody, we were big brother. We were the protector. We had the best care. We had the best, you know, everything, technology, everything. Now they're laughing at us.
We do not rank. We rank low on infant mortality. We rank low on quality of life. All the Scandinavian countries are ahead of us, Luxembourg, Netherlands, and everything, crime. We are ranked the highest in crime. People do not want us. We have slowly but surely, and that's what Jeff Daniels says in this too, our rights have been eroded. But we want to keep that American flag going. We do not want to vote. They're taking them away and taking them away as we're all screaming, no, this is America. And they don't want to believe that we, you know, how many rights we've had. And people,
right.
It just reinforces the fact that probate court is trying to say I'm crazy when I tell these people, look, they have trials behind your back. No, they don't. This is America. You know, they're trying to get you. Oh, they can't get you. They have to prove you're crazy. They have, and then it's like, you know, they go, see, she is crazy. She thinks they can do this. You know, people do not want to see the facts. They want to believe that this is, you know, oh, yeah, and it's not. We have sunk so low. We've lost so many of our rights.
Right.
Like
honey.
I said, look
so,
up the clip.
So
I think Jeff Daniels does it first.
So what did you think of yesterday in the Capitol? What did you think of what happened down there? What do you think about that?
I was surprised to see I'm sorry, I've been doing this for 30 years. And when I first got involved, people were checking over that contact.
Yeah.
They were like,
well, she got up
and
told everybody.
And I said, no, and after
30 years, everybody.
I'm skeptical, but I see things, you know, I see that there's, you know, things are changing. Listen to people, they're still about Britney Spears. They're saying, well, you know, even the ones that support her, they go, but, you know, she is mentally ill. Come on, mentally ill? Where are you getting this? Because somebody says that? She's incredible confident. She writes her stuff. She does all this stuff. She got angry one day. Well, you know, it's because of her father that, you know, that was just, it's like, no, Justin Bieber seems to me like he's done a lot more than she does, than she's ever
done,
and yet he's not.
Sorry. Yeah, I know exactly. Well, I'm glad you showed up yesterday. We've got some more callers, but please hang on with us, okay? We're going
to
bring in the caller
number. I just
wanted
to say, can I say something really quick?
Yes, real quick.
You know,
I talked
about my mom saying she was in a concentration camp, and that was, you know, that this was worse. And what I didn't, you know, wasn't able to. When my mom, you know, she was helping Jewish families get into the Underground Railroad, she would put their coats, she would pick them up at the train station, roll up their coats and put them under her coat so she looked pregnant because, you know, the Jewish star on the coat. And that's, you know, how she would transport families. And one day, long story short, I'm trying to make this real quick, okay, you know, they were also all starving, and everybody got together in the neighborhood and family and different people and put money together, and you know, and mom got on her bicycle and rode out to the country to get a ham. When she came back, she had the ham, same thing, under her coat as if she was pregnant, and one of the Nazi soldiers recognized her, and he said, wait a second. How come you're pregnant? How come you were more pregnant the other day than you are now? And that's how they busted her. My grandparents did not know what happened to my mom.
Okay, you're going to have to tell us more of that. I want to hear some more. But we're going to take in another car
in a
right now. That's
camp, and nobody knew where she was. And
there you go.
You know, and finally, through the rumor mill, my grandfather was checking dead bodies. He was checking bombings. He was checking kidnappings. This went on forever. He couldn't find her. You know, they didn't know. She was dead. What had happened? Finally, through the rumor mill, months later, they found out she might be in the concentration camp, but they didn't know where. You know?
Oh, my God.
She finally managed to escape.
Tell your story.
This is what
I've
been going through with my brother right now. I feel like
he
needs to make where he was.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead.
Just like my mom was. Nobody told me where he was at. You know, so it is. It's exactly like the concentration camp is stuff. So anyway, I just wanted to tell her story and the fact that, I'm not being dramatic when I saw anything like it.
Right.
Anyway, okay.
We're going to go ahead and we're going to bring on another caller right now. Let's bring on one more, and then I want Hillary to talk about Lisa Martinez's hearing case, but we have another caller right now I want to bring in. It's the 303-6 number. I think I know who this is.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah, hi, Cliff.
Hey.
I knew it was you. This is one of the original Facebook advocates, everybody. This
hi.
Is one of the original co-founders, everybody. Cliff
Welcome
Batiste,
to the
everybody.
Show, Cliff Batiste.
How's it going?
Well, I couldn't resist not coming on and just saying thank you to both you and Rob and everybody else yesterday. You guys are true champions, and I know it's not easy what you've done, and there's a lot of people that don't know it, but you've done them a great service. So many
yes.
applauses to you guys, man. You guys really towed the line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we still keep doing it, too. Isn't that amazing? You've done a lot too, Cliff.
Yeah.
And my sister, you know, we're all four of the original advocates, you know. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I wish I could have been there yesterday. The best I got to do is write a submitted, you know, testimony, what I thought was relevant to the hearing. But I wish I could have been there myself. But I know there'll be others. I know there's going to be many others. And, you know, I'll do my best to get my schedule free to make those.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, we miss you every chance we get when we because I know that you know yours is a voice that is true and strong and
mm-hmm.
so it's always nice to hear from you. But I know that your heart is with us and I know
mm-hmm.
that you did write in and that does become part of the body of the legislation that they're looking at when they're considering this bill. So
yeah,
that's as much of a contribution as anybody. It's not as visible, but it may be just as effective. So
right.
we appreciate you.
We're bringing in another caller, and I know who you are, too. 720 number, come on alive.
Hi,
my
everybody.
Sister
Ruth.
Hi.
Hi. Who's
well,
this?
You know what? Come on, come all. It's Ruth Sadler, the fourth co-founder of Faceless.
Oh,
hi, Ruth.
Love
you.
Hi, Ruth.
Well,
hi,
Gary.
All the
hi,
advocates,
Brent.
Cliff, Luann,
right.
Robin, hats off to everybody in this effort. We gave them an earful yesterday. That was so fun. I'm feeling victorious.
Yeah.
Yay.
it was quite
Voila.
Amazing and a long way to go, but you know, for that one day in there, that was amazing. That's how we should be treated in the first place down there. And you guys all knocked it out of the ballpark, as all of us, you know, as a big team down here. That's why I asked Rick Black how many states are involved with they've got big, you know, advocates in
large
their state,
field.
And there's quite a few.
A large advocacy
movement. Yeah, a large advocacy movement. But, gosh, Ruth, what did you think of yesterday since you're on here with us?
Oh, that representative, Richard Holthorpe, that came out, it was miraculous. He got it. He persuaded the whole panel to change their vote because I guess they weren't supposed to, you know, they were the vote was marked RIP. They were supposed to kill the bill. And as they always do, we have given many legislative speeches over the last 7 years, and the Bar Association has always come forward and opposed us no matter what we've done, no matter baby steps or not. And we've lost every time, and now at least they're going to keep it open so that they can get some amendments. They only wanted to give
right.
us seven days notice before you notify if somebody's been moved, Guardian has moved a ward, or if they perished
yeah,
or something.
Days.
And
wow.
Yeah, well, you know what? The Bar Association,
yeah.
Well, they got up there. The Bar Association said, well, there's already something in place that we have to notify the next of kin. And that's so not true. We have people that have not been notified. And sometimes there are laws in place, but they're not being enforced.
Exactly. And, you know, I heard of a guardian who the judge went down the list of her wards and said,
alive or dead. Oh, she died a year ago. No suggestion of death, no death certificate filed. So I agree with you. And unfortunately, you know, until it happens to you, you really don't know the gravity of it. And seems like people are finally starting to get it and to understand. And God willing, it'll never happen to them, because it was, again, the worst experience of my life. And I say that with all sincerity.
Hillary, I got to tell you, and everybody, I mentioned that in my speech, the movie I Care a Lot on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, you know, my dad would say, whatever you have, you use it. And we have that in our corner. So I brought it up, and I hope they're all watching it tonight.
Yeah.
Those that are not listening to our show.
I think between all of the advocates on our panel yesterday, everybody mentioned something about something. It was amazing how widespread and how everybody covered almost everything. We covered RICO, I Care a Lot. I mean, we can just go on, but we did it. We knocked out of the ballpark, you know. We needed to do that here in Colorado.
There be a recording of it?
Yes, there's going to be a recording of it. They do it on all the general assemblies. I'm actually waiting for a day or so to get that up, so I will probably get it from Nick Sands, or I'll go on there and see if I can find it. And I'm sure that we will be posting it everywhere once we get it. But it was amazing. It was amazing.
And thank you.
Yeah,
and on behalf of Florida, thank you for doing that. It makes such a big difference. Such a big difference.
You know, I want to say that the activism that we've seen coming out of Florida is one of the things that has inspired us, because you all have proven to be so dedicated and worked so hard at changing things there that it's sort of like it has inspired in me a kind of friendly rivalry where I sort of go, well, we've been
like
some things done here.
And you know what? I think we inspire each other. I mean,
I
remember when we were all scared to even come out on the radio and speak. I mean,
well, not all of us.
I used to come down as like Botanical Lulu. I had Lulu, you know, everybody knew me that. But you know what? After a while, you just get so sick and tired of it. And I told people, if you cannot make it, put on a mask and go in there. You know, go in there and talk. You don't have to talk about your case. You can talk about...
We've been in the room doing legislation with some of our advocates in masks because they were in the courts, and they knew that if their identities were known, that there could be retaliation against loved ones
my sister's
who were
all
controlled by court predators.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go ahead and say court predators, because that's why they're afraid to show their faces, because they knew that those are the kind of people that would not hesitate to do harm to those you love in retaliation for you speaking up.
Right.
And what evidence do we have? We have lots of evidence. Bring it on. We'll prove it.
And not all the time do we get all four co-founders of Faces on the radio
That's
show.
Right. That's
so
right.
So thank you, Cliff, for coming on, and Ruth for coming on.
Absolutely. Welcome.
And
hail, the gang's all here.
The gang's all here, everybody.
Far too long.
So anyway, we got like 1 minute left to the radio show, and we are basically just going to...
Luann, can I mention Martino's hearing?
Please do.
Zanka Shane. So briefly, there is a hearing on the 28th, which I believe is this coming Monday, at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it is concerning Lisa Martino's home and her property, and a judge who is heartless, who is trying to cut off any filing from Lisa Martino on her own. Lisa Martino, as Gediminas Pakalnis, Sue Melende, and a few others, are American heroes. They are fighting the fight. They have spent all their money fighting for their loved ones that are either alive or dead. Lisa Martino's father is still in a guardianship, and her home was stolen from under her in a bogus libel slander suit by an arrested guardian. So the hearing is Monday, this coming Monday, the 28th at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will post it on Facebook. I'll send it to Luann, who will post it, and Marcy and Robin. And mm-hmm. it's a 15-minute hearing, but I'm begging people, please, I'm begging you, 15 minutes. Take your lunch break. Take a coffee break. Put your computer on and walk away if you have to. It's Zoom. I'm not asking you to travel to the hearing.
We'll do it, and we'll share it.
Right, and to drive. But there but for the grace of God go I. Lisa Martino is living in an extended stay hotel right now with her four dogs, fighting for her father.
Horrible.
And this
horrible.
Is barbaric what happened to her. So
horrible.
Please, please,
horrible.
Please, please
yes.
join the hearing on Monday. And thank you in advance.
Yes, then we will make sure we post that. We're going to get the word out. And like I say, anybody can reach us here at Face Us Radio, F-A-C-E-U-S Radio at hotmail.com. You can reach out to us. We can get the information out to you. If you have any issues in your state and you need help, we we're not attorneys. This is just real life experiences that our families have gone through. And justice requires transparency and accountability, right, Robin?
That's right.
And giving up
is not an option.
And my newest thing of all, I'm going to say it, if you can't face me, face us. You know, and amen. You know, thank you to everybody that's come on to our radio show tonight and Colorado.
And went
everybody.
To that legislature yesterday.
Yeah, and the ones out in Florida,
all of our listeners, we
Ray
Contreras,
you know, everybody.
Thank you for spending time with us.
Becky Harbor and Beth and everybody, all these, Lang, all you people.
Yeah. We're doing good. We're doing good. So thanks,
Marcy. Doing good. Everybody's doing good.
Yeah,
and we'll
see
you again next week.
Thank you, everybody.
Right.
And remember, we have a constitution, and we the people have rights. And this is not Cuba, and this is not Ukraine.
Yeah, you go. Thank you, Rick Black, as well. We want to mention him.
Thank you all.
Sister Ruth.
And thank you,
Luann. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, me. Yep. Okay. We're going to wrap this up probably with a NASDAQ commercial. Or how about our new commercial that you and I have actually put together?
Today?
Yeah, let's go ahead and say this, you guys. Go ahead, say your commercial, and we are going to sign off for now.
Did you ever hire an attorney who told you, "Don't worry, I got your back," only to discover that what they really mean is, "I got your back pocket," and they pick your pocket, and they take your wallet, and they clean out all of your hard-earned money, and they don't do anything? Have you ever sought help, only to have the legal system turn against you? Are you one of the thousands victimized every day in our corrupt legal system? You are not alone. People have their rights violated, their property stolen, and find themselves locked away, isolated from friends and family, with no phone, no car, no home, no voice, and no rights to their own property every day, right here in America and throughout the world. Is there anyone holding them accountable? Is there anyone fighting back? Is there anything you can do? Isn't it time we speak out in one voice against this? If you agree, the next time you go up against the establishment arrayed against, tell them you're not alone. Tell them you are a force to be reckoned with. Tell them they don't want to be on the wrong side of justice, or you will have to face me. And if you don't want to face me, face us.